You're listening to God, Law, and Liberty with David Fowler and Gary Humble. We're putting culture on a collision course with the truth.
Welcome back to another episode of God, Law, and Liberty. I'm Gary.
And I'm David.
And we are so glad that you're here with us on this episode. And for those of you that have been listening, thank you for that. Please continue to share and ask friends and family to subscribe. We are excited about having this conversation and getting this out.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is actually airing over Thanksgiving.
Right.
And so somehow today, I hope our listeners will find this interesting. We're going to tie our discussions of conscience and liberty, spheres of liberty, to thankfulness. So if that intrigues you, how that can lead to thankfulness, then this is the show for you. But
yeah, it'd be a good one. Have you heard that? Have you heard that new song yet, David? Closed on Sunday.
No,
you're my Chick-fil-A.
No,
close. You ever heard that? It's a new Kanye West song.
No, are you serious? It's a real song.
I am serious.
Oh no, I haven't heard. I thought maybe it came about because
it is a new song off of the current number one album in the country called "Jesus Is King" by Kanye West.
Oh wow,
it's pretty incredible.
Maybe he's mostly king. Maybe we. No, I didn't mean that as to Kanye, but after what happened with Chick-fil-A last week.
Yeah, so I thought it'd be a nice little intro.
Yeah, that is a good intro. That is a good intro. Yeah, absolutely. We were talking last week about this issue of conscience. And that as we're beginning to understand it, and as we were looking at that amicus brief that had been filed by the Tennessee Independent Baptist for Religious Liberty, they had raised this question of conscience, and that we had looked for our listeners, viewers who don't know, in the I think it was our third podcast, we talked about the Westminster Confession, the conversation about conscience, and we'd brought that forward to some things Kuyper wrote at the end of the 1800s, and that it's in our constitutions, but we made this statement about liberty. So there was this concept that there was this sphere of church, sphere of
state. It wasn't when I had invented the word liberty.
Wasn't, but that's a great word, liberty. We had church and state that each had a sovereignty from God, but it was a limited sovereignty to a certain jurisdictional sphere, and in between those two spheres was this sphere of liberty for man, where he lived under his conscience before the face of God. We use that phrase coram Deo.
Coram Deo.
Yeah, right. And so what happened last week was that Chick-fil-A had to make a decision about how to live before the face of God. So why don't you, in case any of our listeners were in comas last week or out of the country, why don't you tell what Chick-fil-A decided to do last week?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, and you know, what's interesting about that decision is we've known for quite some time Chick-fil-A's stance on Christianity and you know, of course, like we sang earlier, being closed on Sunday.
Yeah.
We all weep tears when we get out of church and want some lunch and realize it's Sunday. Chick-fil-A's closed. And they've done some great things. And because of that, the Christian community has supported them wholeheartedly for quite some time. In fact, I can think back over the last 5 years, some of the boycotts they've faced.
Mm-hmm.
And boycott Chick-fil-A. Next thing you know, there's lines wrapped around. You can't find a Chick-fil-A to go get a sandwich.
Remember when Mike
there.
Huckabee did that?
Yeah.
After the big blow up where he said, we support marriage. I think everybody and his brother went to Chick-fil-A. I mean, it was just wonderful. So, I remember going that day.
So now what makes this decision interesting, we've got Chick-fil-A now caving to what a lot of people call this, we call it the cancel culture.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think like I do, so we're going to obliterate you. We're going to destroy you.
Right.
And, of course, with which LGBT activism is known for, it's what they do. They will shame you, destroy you into submission.
Right.
And it's pretty incredible to watch Chick-fil-A take a bow. So, you know, I know they've released a couple statements. People aren't buying it, including Focus on the Family has made a pretty significant stand.
Sure.
Not to detract from any way on the great things that Chick-fil-A has done in the past, but this decision to not support organizations like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Salvation Army because of their stance on same-sex marriage is an incredible message for Chick-fil-A to now put publicly and frankly in front of its customers and patrons, who most of which I think feel quite differently.
Yeah, I would imagine a lot of them do, and I do as well. And we're not here to cast stones on Chick-fil-A, but I think it is important that we talk a little bit about this, not just from a political standpoint, but today also from the God standpoint.
Yeah.
So the law and the God standpoint. And from the law standpoint, one of the things I said last week, I kind of garbled it, but if we really say we like liberty, and of course, who champions more, you might say, liberty than the liberals? You know, I'm free to do this, I'm free to that. Don't tread on me kind of concept. Don't tell me who I can marry or how I can dress, or don't tell me
I'm a man.
Yeah, don't tell me I'm a man. If I won't show up at work as a girl, then you have to just live with it and all that. And we're trying to pass laws.
I'm he, him, by the way, just so you know.
Him? Okay, yeah. I'll call you him. But what I had said is that because you might use your liberty badly, I want to go pass a law that keeps you from doing something or makes you do something. You know, we've seen that with the Chick-fil-A situation, but the cake maker, Jack Phillips, and the florist and those kinds of things. So we're going to make you make a cake or cater this wedding or whatever it would be. And but once that principle gets into our consciousness, then the next guy says, well, I'm going to make you do something now. Because that's the principle, right? We use the government to conform people, to make people do the right thing. And, of course, what happened with Chick-fil-A was, you might say, if you're Chick-fil-A, people use their liberty badly. Mm. You know, they said, yeah, well, if you don't do certain things, we'll just shut your store down in London. You won't be open a week.
Which I wonder if that was what kind of precipitated this move.
Maybe so. You know, they've been shut out now, I think, of maybe three different airports.
Right.
But that's an important thing, too.
San Antonio, what's up with you, Texas? Come on now.
Well, they're probably like a lot of cities. They're very liberal, and the outlying areas aren't. But one important distinction we need to draw here is that when the government engages in saying, well, you don't do the right thing, so we will not grant you a license, that is exactly what the First Amendment was for. Mm. The government shall not make you do things as a condition of participating in your culture, in your society.
In commerce.
Yeah, and particularly in the area of commerce. Now, you know, if we need to have money for taxes for roads and things like that, there is a jurisdiction that government has, but it was not over those areas. I think the way you read Kuiper the other day, he said those areas which have their sense of own natural development, that you know, commerce and marriage and family. We read those sections.
Yeah, things that just happen.
Because they're human beings. So we engage in commerce, we marry, we have children, and so the government tries to prevent disorder, theft, for example, stealing, false weights and measures, you know, those kinds of things. But with the cake baker, see, there was no government intervention there, except the government intervened arguably to say you must make the cake. So what we're finding here is that the government is entrenching into this area where if you don't do something, we won't let you. And if you don't want to do something, we will make you. Well, where's liberty when the government can both prohibit what you do and make you do?
Yeah.
If you're not going to do this, then we won't let you. And so.
But they've been doing that for quite some time, right, with these anti-discrimination laws that we have, and even things like affirmative action, I mean, quite frankly. There's been lots of rulings over the last few years and regulations, you know, set forth by the government says, you know, if you want to do this, you must do this.
That's right. And we put conditions on things. So one of the bills, for instance, we're looking at in the legislature for next January just now occurred to me, is this what we call the Business Protection Act, that says the government can't sit here and say when two people are bidding for a government contract to pave the street, well, do you provide abortion coverage in your health insurance policy? Oh, you don't? Well, that's a black mark on your bid rating. Do you have special protections for sexual orientation and gender identity? You don't? Oh, that's another bad mark. So you see what the government's doing there. Now, they're not making you do it, but they're penalizing you because you don't conform to what the government
right.
requires.
You'll lose that bid because of the fact.
Yeah, so a lot of people love those laws.
Right.
You know, because I'm going to qualify and now you can't. You're going to get a lower score and you're actually better at me at paving roads. But because I provide certain benefits the government likes and so on and so forth. So as you can see, as government gets bigger, too, you see the tendency of government to say we're going to control things. But in the Chick-fil-A situation, Chick-fil-A was a perfect example, though, of how this sphere of liberty conscience works. Nobody made them close on Sundays or makes them open on Sundays. Nobody makes them give to the Salvation Army or tells them you can't give to the Salvation Army.
Right.
People came together and said, businesses that give to the Salvation Army, we won't tolerate. And it may only be 1,000 people in the whole community, but if they all show up at your door every day and no customer wants to come through the throng, eventually you shut down because of those 1,000 people. That's why it's, you know, cancel culture. But the question, I guess, that I would ask would be, would we rather live in that kind of liberty or under the tyranny of government telling us there is no sphere of conscience? We will be the arbiter of what is appropriate for your conscience. I think America's going to have to start answering that question.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot or I think the last I saw, scary statistic, but I guess 1 in 3 millennials has a favorable view of communism.
Yeah, socialism and all that. Yeah, so that is an area where they say we'll just control and own everything and everything will be equal, but it won't be equal. But I think there's something that I want to get into that deals with this issue of Thanksgiving, and it's really it really just hit me last week as I was thinking about why I exist. I mean, people probably listening thinking, oh gosh, you know, you're one of those guys that sits around and drinks God, Law, and Liberty coffee and ponders his navel. But but really, why do we exist? What are we here for? And I've often thought of what, in fact, I was talking with a friend the other day about Ecclesiastes. And he said, you know, nothing's really new. We just repackage it. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he said, nothing's new under the sun. But he talks about the futility of life. So what makes for the good life? And this isn't just a Christian question. You know, this is what Socrates was talking about. This is what Plato and Aristotle and all these guys were talking about. What makes for the good life? The Epicureans, the Stoics, they're all talking about what makes for the good life. We don't tend to think very deeply anymore. And as long as I've got food and shelter and, you know, I got Dancing with the Stars or WWE or the NFL's plan, you know, life good. That's the purpose of my life. But Solomon would have said, that's futile. What's the point of that? And Paul even said, if there isn't any resurrection of the dead, eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why go through the hardship of life if the end is nothing, obliteration, non-existence? Just put a bullet to your head and end it anytime. Now, I'm not advocating that. But there are a lot of people who've reached that conclusion, famous people, Hemingway, others, you know, Faulkner, who just said, what's the point of this? It's futile. Why go through this? Just boom, it's over. Guess I'll go eat worms, you know, the old ditty that I learned as a kid. So I've been thinking about that. And I've been thinking about Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A represents itself as a Christian-based company. They've never backed off from that. I don't think they're purporting to back off of that today. They still close on Sunday. It's very clear why they close on Sundays. They have a personal belief about a day of Sabbath, a rest, that everybody ought to have one. It's a creational thing. It's not just not just a Jewish Hebrew thing from the Exodus, where we find the Ten Commandments, but God rested. So it's written in the created order that man needs a day of rest and from his labors, and that part of the idea is that we use that to honor God, to set it aside, make it holy. And so if you're going to pronounce that and not back away from that, then the question becomes, when I then do other things, what am I communicating to the world that's watching as to what Christianity means in regards to that thing? What is the nature of my Christianity that says I will do this, I'll do this, but I won't do this and I won't do that? And so one of my favorite psalms was Psalm 73. And I've read it many times because I've had some reversals in my life. Things didn't go how I wanted it to. And it was kind of like, well, some people have heard my testimony. I was in a big, relatively big law firm in Cincinnati making good money. And at one point was told, you know, there's just a concern here. Before we get to this partnership decision, your religion and your family might interfere with your commitment to the firm and the practice of law. And you need to decide your priorities and address those concerns. We all like you, you know, but we need to make sure where our priorities are. We won't make sure when we make somebody our partner where their priorities were. And I left. I chose to leave. They didn't make me leave. They said, so you can stay, you need to address the concern, or maybe there's a better environment for you. And I left. And actually, even this morning, I don't want to ramble too much, but as I was praying about the show and praying about the Chick-fil-A situation and what my response would be, the Lord really kind of convicted me about my own attitude towards leaving. Now, let me just tell this little quick story. After I was told, let us know what decision you want to make, you know, take a week, two, talk to your wife, think about it. I went back to my office. I just sobbed, called my wife. I was crying, you know, because it didn't make sense to me. They had recognized my priorities. I thought that's what your priorities were supposed to be. You know, your religion, God, family, then work, right? Right. And here I am being told that's not good enough. That's not the right order. Yeah. And wait a minute, God, you know, isn't there supposed to be some blessing here? And then, you know, God, blah, 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 whatever it is. So that's where Psalm 73 becomes important. Because you go there and the psalmist says, boy, I almost really messed up because I got to looking around me. And all the wicked were fat and sassy and happy. They were living at the corner of Easy Street and Pleasant Avenue. And here I am keeping all these commandments, and I'm in a world of trouble. I mean, that's what he says. This is, that's what I love about the Psalms. They're real world stuff. And he makes this statement, but here's where I stopped. He says that surely in vain I've kept my heart pure, and I've washed my hands in innocence. For I've been stricken all day long and chastised every morning. I can just picture, I mean, that's me. Hey, I was doing the right thing. They knew I was doing the right thing. And here I am being told I got to leave and I don't know where I'm going to go. And I got a 2-year-old child at home. And how am I going to provide for that child? And, yeah. Oh, it was just.
I want my partnership.
Yeah, you know, I like this Easy Street here. Good money, so on and so forth. And I remember about a week later at church, we had just studied Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And how those men had said, you know, if you don't bow down, we're going to throw you in the furnace. They said, well, if it be so, our God will save us. But if he doesn't, we're just not going to bow down. Sorry, throw us in. Well, they survived. Okay. And I remember thinking at the time, they knew who their God was. And they said, if my God saves me, great. If he doesn't, I'm not going to bow down. And so I said, I'm leaving. And, of course, my whole life changed after that point, you know. What I'm doing here today, I would have never envisioned doing. So here's what the psalmist says. Okay, and that's how I sort of felt at that time. You know, I've been doing the right thing, and here I am being stricken, losing my job, blah, 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 blah. So he says, I was senseless in ignorance. And then he said, but then I came into the sanctuary. And then I perceived their end. Surely you have set them in slippery places and cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. So when God gets aroused, when he says, I've had enough of this, whoa, you'll be broken suddenly. And I kind of said, there. That's right. My end is heaven. And theirs is hell. Now, not that I'm excited that somebody's going to go to hell, but it was kind of that consolation, you know? Yeah. Okay, I'm going through tough stuff, but heaven's up here. And I kept reading last week, and I realized I had missed the biggest point. Because the psalmist goes on, even after he makes that statement, right after that, he said, when my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast. I can picture it, you know. He says, nevertheless, look at this. I am continually with you. Hey, wait a minute. World's falling apart. Doesn't look good. They're having a great life. I don't seem to be having, but I'm continually with you. You've taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you're going to guide me and afterwards receive me to glory. So there's that end, but he's also saying in the present.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get me through this.
Yeah, I am continually with you. Mm-hmm. And he says, so whom have I in heaven but you? I mean, that I don't want to go to heaven because somebody says the streets are paved with gold. I want to go to heaven because God is there, the most glorious, perfect essence being that exists. And I can be in relationship with and in the presence of that forever. And then he says, and beside you, I desire nothing on earth. And that's the verse that caught me. Mm. I thought, do I live such that people would say, you know what? It doesn't matter what's going on around in David's life. Because the thing he most desires, he has now and he will have forever. So you take away his house, he lives in a cardboard box, whatever it is, you shoot him. Okay, great, as Paul said, so I go to be with the Lord. Thank you, that's great. I didn't know whether to stay here or not. You simplified that decision for me. That's the end of man. And then as I thought about Thanksgiving, I thought about what Paul said in Romans chapter 1. He said, even though, I think it's in verse 18 or 18, even though they knew God, they did not glorify and honor him as God or give thanks. And that's what stuck with me, is that we were made to know and be in relationship with God. That's why we exist. The Westminster Confession said, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Wow. All these other things, he says, but they refused. They turned away, Paul said, and they became darkened in their thinking, and they became futile. So I spend all of my time pursuing his ends, cars, houses, those kinds of things. And at the end, I die, and as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. And who knows going to inherit those?
Yeah.
What a waste.
And central to that, too, in terms of Thanksgiving, is to know, you know, where does my help come from?
That's right. So you can do with what you want. Jesus said, don't worry about those who can kill the body. Worry about those who can kill the soul. And so as I was thinking of Chick-fil-A and bearing Christian witness and thinking of that in my own self and thinking of my experience in the past with my job situation in Cincinnati, I thought, wouldn't it have been interesting if Chick-fil-A would say, as the Hobby Lobby did, remember Hobby Lobby mm-hmm. and the abortion mandate? They said, well, if we close, we'll close. I feel sorry for all the employees.
They stood firm.
But I'm, you know, if I go belly up as a business, well, that's okay. And of course, people could say, well, that's easy for you to say, Green family. You've already made millions and got them in the bank and it won't affect you. But Chick-fil-A could have said, you know, if we can't open in London, we just won't open in London. You know, if I'm really worried about money, I might as well open on Sunday anymore too, right? So why, if it's about pursuing money, we'll open up on Sunday.
Right. Why stay closed?
Why stay closed on Sunday?
Yeah.
You know, let's jettison that one too. Why hold on to that one and not say, my end is to glorify God. My end is to know God. And perhaps in seeing that it costs me something, that I can't just grow this business bigger and bigger and make more money, then I will come to know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Okay, right. So instead of being a multi-million, a billion, I become a multi-million. But, yeah,
big whoop.
Yeah, but then I thought of what Paul said. He said, not that I'm just sacrificing all these things. Remember in Philippians chapter 3, for those who may be listening and aren't tracking this very well or want to know what I'm talking about. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he said. You know, I was beyond everybody in my righteousness. And then he said, and those things became lost for me. I don't have my home Bible here. And he said, those things became lost for me. But he says, but more than that. So it's not just willing. I was willing to not open on Sunday. And this is what caught me this morning. I was not just willing to say, well, I'm not going to work the kind of hours you want and do what you want. I'm going to go somewhere else. Look what a great guy I am. What he said is, but more than that, I count those things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. So he's saying it's not just I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to bow down and I'm not going to open on Sunday. It's kind of like if I have to give up every store I own in order to know Jesus Christ, that's a surpassing value than any amount of money anybody can give me. Yeah. So shut them all down. If by doing that, I come to know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And I don't know, I'm no prophet, just, you know, God reads the book. And I wonder if God is bringing the church to a place where they say, I want to demonstrate my glory, and my glory is so great that you will be known as that strange group of people once again who would say, whatever it is I must lose to gain this doesn't compare. It's the pearl of great price. And I think we've lost that.
Yeah, there's no doubt we've lost that. We've lost that. It's been lost on the church, I feel like, for a long time.
It's been lost on me. Because what I looked back at is I thought, you know, I think I took some measure of pride in leaving my firm in Cincinnati. Almost like you could say I take some measure in pride that I don't open on Sunday.
Right.
And you know what the scripture says? Your works, that's a dead thing. Yeah. It means nothing to God. I don't care if you're open. Might as well open up. In fact, one of the verses I love, it just now comes to mind, is Amos chapter 5. What does God do? He's talking to the Jewish people. He said, I've been trying to get your attention. Chapter 3 and 4, I think it is. He says, now prepare to meet your God. But they're having their worship services. And he says, would you just shut up? I don't want to hear your timbrels. I don't want to hear your dances. I don't want to hear your singing. Shut the doors. Because what I want is righteousness to flow down. And so God actually says, you know, there's nothing you're doing inside the temple or the synagogue of any merit or value to me. So just go home. Open up on Sunday. It really doesn't matter. If you're thinking that by closing on Sunday, you're being righteous, righteousness is by faith, not by works.
And I think that's probably, you know, in terms of thankfulness, I think that's probably the beef that a lot of Christians have with this move. It's the one that I've seen more often in the chatter is that, you know, Chick-fil-A was already, I don't know the exact statistic, but something like the third fastest growing food chain in the country or maybe the world. I don't recall, but they were up there. And I think for sure, I think I read something at one point they had taken the number one spot, but that's probably not right. But for sure, they were either the number one, two, or three fast food chain in America. For sure, I know that was true. And with that amount of success, having held to your values, it's mm-hmm. incredible to me to make a move like this. And it would signal, I think everybody's scratching their heads thinking, well, is it because you needed to be more successful? What was the driving factor? And that to me, when we talk about being thankful, you know, what you were reading is being thankful in the midst of devastation and persecution.
Yeah.
All they had to do is be thankful in the midst of incredible blessing.
Yeah.
That seems to be a lot easier. So I think that's why the decision is so baffling to so many, but that definitely goes to show there is no matter who you are, what type of industry you're in, whether you're a business person or not, there is an incredible amount of pressure to bow down to this modern Baal.
Yeah, it's an idol. It's an idol.
And it was an incredible thing to see Chick-fil-A take this path.
And I'm not saying that Chick-fil-A's closing on Sunday is a works righteousness thing, that somehow I'm, you know, God's going to bless me because I did this and see how good I am, like the Pharisee and the, you know, it's one of the favorite stories of people, the Pharisee and the publican in the temple. And the Pharisee's out where everybody can see him and say, look how good I am. I tithe this and I do this and I do this. And the other guy's can't even, he's over in the corner, can't even look up, beating his breast and saying, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, which one goes home righteous? And I think we've lost the sense of the significance of what Jesus said. I think those people at that time thought, well, surely that Pharisee, look at that. He kept all those rules. Of course he is. And Jesus said, no, you got it backwards. You see, you're living in a kingdom of man that measures things differently, that sees things differently, that sees the surpassing value of more stores and bigger stores and more money or more fame or more reputation or more of whatever it is that the world offers. And he said, I'm moving you out of that kingdom into a different kingdom where I rule and my principles rules. And usually in my principle, in my world, he says, everything's upside down. You won't be first, be last. You won't be the leader of all, be the servant of all. See, the world says, that's not how you're first. That's not how you're successful. So, you know, I almost got to the point, if the world is all saying one thing, then I maybe need to reexamine it a little bit. But I would sit here and say to Chick-fil-A, why are you still closed on Sunday?
Yeah. If you compromised one value, why not just do away with them all?
Yeah. Well, you know, if I get that I can say, well, look, I'm not bound by the law. I'm free from the law. We got a lot of those people. We call them antinomians in our theological services. I do whatever I want because God loves me and I'm free to do whatever I want. Well, if that's the case, then open up on Sunday too. Why are you following that one law? It doesn't make any sense.
That would be really horrible for Kanye's new song.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But my guess is, from what I'm hearing from Kanye, he'd say if it tanks, well, it tanks over the Chick-fil-A song. But I say that to say in this, with Thanksgiving, we see this situation of liberty of conscience. We see what happens when the government allows us to be at liberty in a certain sphere. People will use their liberty badly.
Yeah,
they'll pervert their values, let's say, and do something to somebody that they really don't deserve, that maybe is not just. And I know same-sex people, homosexuals and others would say, well, our values are perverted, but the point's still the same. And so if we allow that liberty, bad things can happen. And I think that's why today the government's getting bigger and bigger, and more people are running to the government to pass some kind of equality law or whatever it is. And if they can't get it there, what do? They run to the Supreme Court and get formerly Justice Kennedy do it for them.
Yeah, we won't have time to dig into it. We're coming to the end here, unfortunately. I always feel like we come to the end of this thing, and I'm like, man, we kind of just hit another topic. But
why we'll have another podcast.
But that's definitely one of the things that I don't know when we'll get into it, but this idea, because you've mentioned it a few times now, and it's piqued my interest, this idea that we can do bad things with our liberty. You know, so we mentioned earlier, these anti-discrimination laws. And of course, we know that there's this Equality Act out there in Congress right now that would do some pretty devastating things in the country in terms of religious liberty. But where I'm getting is that we have to acknowledge, if we do want liberty to exist, we should be completely okay with the fact that people are going to do some bad, terrible, and stupid things with their liberty. Mm-hmm. But that's part of liberty, and that does not mean that we have to put in a framework to control them. And mm-hmm. so that's what we've done, is we've continued to put all of these controls in to sort of confine and shape someone's liberty. But then we get into these types of issues, like having to pass like this Business Protection Act that we're going to be hopefully passing in 2020.
And it's a negative law. It's saying stop doing something. Yeah. One thing I want to clarify, though, for listeners who might be listening who don't necessarily share our perspective and saying, so you're advocating anarchy.
No.
And the answer is government does have a jurisdiction. What's fascinating, and we need to talk about this, is I keep getting asked this question, how are you harmed? And so
in terms of what,
when I'm forced to make a cake or you're not forced to make a cake or what's the nature of harm? So government has a jurisdiction to bear a sword. The sword would be born for really wrong acts. I mean, you don't bear the sword in vain for nothing. So the question then becomes, what are the kinds of wrongs that government should stop?
What's bad enough for the government
to step in? So I can't say I'm at liberty, so I'm going to go kill you. I'm going to slub you, you know, club you over the head or whatever it is, or slap your face. But we need to talk about that. But I think it's time for this country to stop and really think, what are we here for? What is our obligation before God? And what do we most care about? And all I'm saying here is, for at least the Christian, we need to remember that what God says is, I made you in my image. I want to know you, be in relationship with you, for you to experience the glory of God, to be able to bear experiencing the glory of God. And what more could we want? And yet we were not thankful. We turned away to futile things, and we pursued futile things. And we wind up often, I think, like Solomon in Ecclesiastes, all is vanity. Hmm. What was the point? And the nice thing is, if God is my end, if God is my goal, if the thing I surpassingly value is my relationship with God, who I see in the face of Christ, then all those things the world counts as valuable lose their importance. They grow strangely dim, as the hymn said. And that's sort of our Thanksgiving meditation.
Medication.
That's right.
We might need some Thanksgiving medication.
We might.
Pepto-Bismol. A lot of crazy families out there.
Okay.
Hey, well, that's a great spot to end. And also really appreciate you bringing that little bit of clarification on the liberty point. That's good.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this during the week of Thanksgiving, we certainly wish you and your family a happy and safe Thanksgiving. And again, thank you. Thank you for joining, and talk to you next time.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe too. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. God, Law, and Liberty is a podcast of the Family Action Council of Tennessee. We are a 100% supporter-funded nonprofit advocating for family, life, marriage, and religious liberty. For more information, please visit us at www.factennessee.org. That's FACTennessee.org. And please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FACTennessee.